It's time for the latest business news. Feel free to plots yourself.
This is the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right there, Mr. Bellinger. We have news on home foreclosures, and are things getting any better?
Little bit. Last month, there was a slight decrease in the number of homeowners in danger of losing their homes. Adams says the number of properties with foreclosure filings was down 8% from March, though still up 160% from April of last year when moratoriums were still in effect. Ohio, though, was among the states with the highest home foreclosure rates. One of every 2,585 properties had some type of filing last month.
How about that? And mortgage demand is up.
Yeah, there's a pickup in demand for new mortgages. Bankers' data show that applications for home purchase loans rose 4.5% last week, but the jump in mortgage interest rates has put a damper on refinancing. Refi requests were down 2%.
And the end of an era for the iPod.
Yes, Apple's phase-out of the iPod music players is complete. The company announced it is ending production of the iPod Touch, which was the last remaining model. Sales will end when supplies run out. Apple introduced the first iPod back in 2001 and added the touchscreen model in 2007. Sales have declined over the years, and Apple started phasing out the line in 2014.
How about that? Bye-bye, iPod. Yes. All right, futures then.
All right, they're pointing higher this morning. S&P futures are up 45 points now. NASDAQ futures are up 173. And the Dow futures are up 284. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, makes it 810. 810 at 700 WLW. And the guest stands by. Gentleman got a hold of me via email just saying he had some background and some areas of, well, some expertise, you'd say, in areas that we touch on in this program from time to time, and especially in the light of the Casey White, Vicky White debacle that ended up in Evansville. He would be Kentucky State Senator John Schickel, who's seems to have worked an awful lot in his life, 40 years experience, law enforcement, police officer, jail administrator, U.S. Marshal, and then he's been Kentucky State Senator for a number of years as well, and I think that's... It's enough work there, John Schickel, for a couple of people, but good to have you on the program. How you doing?
Good morning. Doing great.
All right. Where do we start with this Casey and Vicky White thing? Not to suggest they're married. It almost sounds like they were, but jailhouse love. Let's put that label on it. You were in the jail administrator for how long? About 14 years?
14 years.
And
then, of course, the U.S. Marshal Service then, too, has custody of all pretrial prisoners. So I did a lot of that in the U.S. Marshal Service also, so really longer than that.
All right. Well, in the course of your 14 years, how many cases like this did you see where you had a female jailhouse employee, we'll assume corrections officer, who ends up in a relationship of some sort with an inmate?
Oh, I'd say probably a half a dozen times, Mike.
Which is a lot more than I think the average person would think that would happen.
Yeah, it really is. I noticed that the way we employed people, correctional officers, changed over the years, and I noticed as we made those changes, there was a court case, and it's been quite a few years ago now, maybe as long as 20 years ago, back in the old days, you had men working in male cell blocks, and you had females working in female cell blocks, and you didn't have these kind of problems.
Right.
When that changed, and we were required to allow females to work in male cell blocks is when you had all the jailhouse romance. One thing that hasn't changed over the years is an outlaw is a powerful aphrodisiac for some.
Yeah, there are some women who are attracted to the bad boy. And I would imagine you might, that job might actually attract somebody like that. So you might be somewhat predisposed when you take the job. Does the same thing happen as often if men are guarding female prisoners?
Well, it's a, you know, one thing that also, Mike, is people want us to believe that men and women are the same, and they're not. They're very, very different. They're wired different. Men and women are very different people. And so it's a totally different situation. First of all, you have most prisoners are males.
Yes.
So the vast majority of prisoners are males. the minority of a small minority. It's getting larger every day, but still a very small minority are females. So no, it doesn't happen as often. And it was, and when it does happen, it's handled completely differently.
Handled differently in that if a male prisoner is involved sexually, if a male guard is involved sexually with a female prisoner, that is automatically labeled rape, would it not be?
Automatically, you're going to read about it in the paper, hear it on the news, and someone's going to be going to prison for a long time.
But a female guard involved with a male inmate usually just ends. There is no rape charge, even though the job descriptions are the same. Everything else should be the same. It just becomes just an embarrassing situation for she and her family, and it's all she's fired, and that's about it.
That's a good way to put it. You know, it's important to point out that legally, it's the exact same thing.
Right.
Legally, it's the exact same thing, but it's handled very, very differently. And many times this person is married. Many times this person has a good work record. And so they're on friendly terms with the administration, on good terms with the administration. And it's in a very embarrassing situation. So the person resigns, and you never hear about it again.
It never makes the paper. I mean, yeah, I would, if this happened, and were you at the Kenton County Jail? Where were you?
Boone County.
So in the time you were there, this happened at least six times in Boone County and never made the paper.
To varying degrees. If the situation that we had recently that made national news, that's an extreme case.
Sure.
A very extreme case. Most of the time, the way it usually happens, Mike, is the way you first get tipped off is inmates can make phone calls. And they make them from these correctional, they call collect out to a telephone.
Right.
And that phone call is on record. And it is billed to the person who's called. It is billed to that person's, the person is called. So many times a husband or boyfriend will get the phone bill and say, what in the world are all these calls from the jail? So they confront either their spouse or their significant other about it, and that's usually when the whole thing blows up.
But typically, does she get arrested? I mean, a male does this, arrested. She doesn't get arrested.
No, typically not. In fact, I've never known one to get arrested.
I would certainly put you on the side of thinking of saying it was a bad idea to allow female guards to guard male prisoners. I mean, not just from the romance standpoint, but just the, you know, body size. I mean, this case with the whites, she's like 5'4", he's 6'9". If a problem broke out in a cell block, what is she going to do with men like that?
Well, that's exactly right. It's just not realistic. It's just political correctness thinking, people that have never experienced real life. And there's all kinds of practical implications for it. Public safety is put in jeopardy. Just so someone can say that, you know, feel like they're politically correct or politically sensitive, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Would you believe that's also the case when it comes to police forces? Because, and I forget what year it was, and there were a separate standard for female applicants to the academy and male applicants to the academy, and then you had men who were, you know, shorter, of slighter build, trying to become police based on the female requirement, and we're told they were not. But just with regard to physically having to deal with suspects, there was a point in time, and I know some older cops long since retired, where you had to be a big guy to be a cop. When I was growing up, I mean, the cops were big dudes. It seemed it was a prerequisite because of the clientele, so to speak, that you were going to have to deal with. And once,
yeah, that, you know, I hired on to the Florence Police Department as a patrolman in 1977. And at that time, state troopers, police were big, physical people. And as they got older, all the donut jokes, as we know, they got fat.
Yep.
But when they were first hired on, and they were usually athletic people too, they could handle themselves. I've watched that change over the years. The physical standards have been lowered to create what we call diversity in the ranks. So the physical standards have been lowered. But I think a byproduct of that, which no one wants to admit, no one in administration wants to admit it because these political correctness forces are so strong that their careers are on the line and they realize it. Take a city like Cincinnati, and especially your big cities. The physical fitness or the physical prowess of these people, they're forced to resort to other means, tasers, and other means. We call it the continuum of force. It starts with a taser and goes all the way, goes up to a firearm. But I've watched that, and I really believe that the situations of tasers and even firearms are used today that police officers used their bare hands or maybe sometimes a baton because they had the physical prowess to do it.
Well, what you're saying is you believe more people are getting shot because the police are not physically, just by the today's status and stature, are not capable of handling a lot of the criminal element that's out there on a daily basis.
I believe that's a factor.
One factor? What would be another factor? Yeah, I would think, I expected the taser to be a hit when it first came online because cops I know would rather not have to tackle somebody on asphalt if they didn't have to. If you could tase somebody and avoid tearing up your uniform and scraping up your legs, they kind of preferred the idea of simply tasing someone, and I think that would still be the case. The taser, I don't think, was a bad idea. But as far as involving yourself in physical...
I disagree with you. Right. disagree with you. I think it can be a bad idea or it can be used improperly, and I think we have seen it used improperly by people, especially of small physical stature, because they resort to that taser much more rapidly than someone who had much better physical prowess would. So I think it has been a problem in some instances, and I think we've seen that.
But would I want to be tased and get that over with and pretty much feel myself or get beaten by a cop and, you know, be sore for a couple of days? I think I'd rather take the tasing.
Well, you're exactly right, but it's not a matter of what you would rather take, and it's really not a matter of what the police officer would rather do. It's a matter of what best serves public safety and what best prevents people from being fatally shot or injured seriously.
Yeah. But you're right. Nobody brings that up, that, you know, cops are not even, you know, a lot of the male cops are not as big as they used to be. I mean, I don't know if they had a height weight requirement at some point in big cities in Cincinnati. Maybe you had to be at least 6 feet tall to apply to be a cop or 5'10". There was some cutoff somewhere where you were considered too short to be a police officer.
Yeah, and I can tell you that some police departments did have height and weight requirements back in those days because I was applying in a lot of police departments, they did have those requirements.
I want to touch on since you were a marshal, chasing Casey and Vicky White, and it's probably been a number of years. You've been a state senator for 14 years. So you've been away for a while. But is the technology today, what would help them best? Is the fact that we have cameras everywhere does that have more to do with finding them than simply tips from the general public?
Well, cell phone technology is a huge deal. We were using it 14 years ago, and it's advanced a whole lot since then. But in a situation like that, Mike, I knew that they would be apprehended quickly because when you get romance factored in, people get very sloppy, things are, you know that they'll be found quickly. It's not a it's kind of a desperate type, not well thought out situation.
But in this case, she had time to map it out, and she knew some of the things not to do, and certainly not turning on her cell phone, not having her cell phone with her was one of the smarter, if from her perspective.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. No, you obviously followed it more closely than I have.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my guess was originally, my call was that they'd find them by today, Wednesday. Then I backed it up and said they'd find them by this past Sunday. And I missed it by a day. So,
you know, I'll never forget. I'll never forget when I first appointed to supervise the Marshal Service in the Eastern District of Kentucky. We had a huge jail escape And it was a big jail escape, very dangerous prisoner who escaped from jail. And the marshal said, the service said they were going to send in a special fugitive task force from Washington, D.C. to help us. So I was all excited, and I went out to the airport to greet the guy when he got off the plane, and we went to get a cup of coffee. And I said, well, what are we going to do? He grinned at me and said, look, he said, wait for the phone to ring. And I said, what do you mean, wait for the phone to ring? I was expecting some sort of sophisticated technology. And
right.
He said, wait for an ex-husband or ex-boyfriend that's mad to call. I thought, well, boy, you know, things really haven't changed that much over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, technology's involved, but a lot of times, too, there's always someone that's mad at someone wanting to get back at them. And many times that's the way these cases are solved.
Yeah, well, I've heard on Crime Stoppers, it's not uncommon at all for someone to be turned in by a family member who wants the money.
And, you know, getting back to this jailhouse romance thing, Mike, I can remember times when we would have more than one time when we would have visitation, and the waiting room would be filled with people wanting to see prisoners, and a wife and a girlfriend would get in a fight in the waiting room, and we'd have to go out and break it up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Listen, Senator John Schickel, I'm out of time. I got to run. But I appreciate your time. And when one of these issues comes up again, I'll get a hold of you for your expertise. How about that?
Well, you have a great day. Good talking to you.
All right. Appreciate that, John. State Senator John Schickel right there. Thank you much. Time is 825, 700 WLW. Chuck's got the traffic. What's shaking?
Clearing things out. From the UC Health Traffic Center, join the best and brightest teams at UC Health. Find your career at uchealth.com/careers. Southbound 75, just a bit heavy through Sharonville and out of Laughlin. Northbound 75, delayed times have dropped under the five-minute mark to come through the cut and across the Brent Spence. Southbound 71, much better through Blue Ash and Kenwood. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, forecast clouds for now, but sun this afternoon, then tomorrow and Friday, 84, all 3 days looking good. Temp right now, 69, 700 WLW. Hey, hey.
It's a divisional throwdown.
That is way back and way gone.
Milwaukee's Brewers are in the Queen City, and the Redlegs are looking to give them a king-size beat.
Down the right field line, goodbye!
Catch all the bat and ball action live.
Way back gone!
Today at 11:35 on 700 WLW and 700 WLW's live stream on the iHeartRadio app.
This report is sponsored by Audible. This spring, let Audible bring a smile with comedy.
Rock. Oh, that's a lot of rockin'.
This is the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Jeffrey Bellinger, you got the Consumer Price Index, I hope, fresh off the press at 8:30.
Yes, I do, and investors don't like this one bit. Last month's pickup in retail-level inflation was a bit stronger than expected. The Consumer Price Index jumped 0.3% in April. The core rate of inflation, which excludes energy and food costs, was up 0.6%, and the broader CPI was up 8.3% from April of last year. All of the numbers were down just a little bit from the March data, but they topped economists' forecasts.
Not good.
No, not at all.
All right, renters hit hard by inflation, hard.
Yes, Zillow reports the rental market is as competitive as it has been in decades. The typical rent has shot up nearly 17% in the last year to $1,904 a month. Vacancy rates are close to all-time lows. Zillow is offering an online renter profile tool to help people stand out to landlords when they're looking for a new apartment in this competitive environment.
All right, then at Electronic Arts, they're going to rename a popular game. Which one?
It's the soccer game. EA was not able to reach a new licensing deal with FIFA, so the company's soccer game will be known as EA Sports FC starting next year. EA says the game will still feature the world's most popular soccer teams.
All right, and the Volkswagen Scout. I can't picture the Scout. Will be revived.
Yeah, the sport utility vehicle's being brought back here in the United States as an electric vehicle. According to TechCrunch and the Wall Street Journal, the Scout brand will include an electric SUV and an electric pickup.
How about that? All right, futures, please.
All right. Remember, they were higher a while ago. Now yeah. they're lower. S&P futures down 30 points. NASDAQ futures are down 144. Dow futures are down 193. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
8:41, Wednesday morning, 700 WLW. Mike McConnell here till 9. Scott Sloan is in, doing something at 9:06. Remains a mystery to me at this stage of the game. We're going to have a bunch of littler stuff I want to get to in the course of the remainder of the program, as opposed to anything major, because a lot of little nonsense is floating around out there. But Scott and Dayton wanted to make a quick point, so maybe it's a little nonsense, too. I don't know. Scott, what's up?
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing all right. What do you got?
Hey, back when I was a kid in the 70s, I used to watch a show called Cannon. Big, fat guy. Boy, he could run fast, tackle him on the pavement. He was an inspiration of all law, fat law enforcement everywhere. You remember that show?
I do. And now, what they used to show is him taking the first step as though he was going to chase somebody. And then they would cut away to him tackling him. So you saw him turn to start to run. Next thing you know, he's tackling him. You never really saw Cannon run.
Oh, I guess my memory fails me.
What was his name? Last name was Conrad. What was his first name? Played Cannon.
Oh, jeez.
William Conrad. William Conrad.
That was kind of his only... That's the only thing I ever saw him in, as I recall. He never did anything else, did he?
Yeah, no, he was in stuff before that. I forget what. He was, you know, ahead of before my time, put it that way.
I think he's probably as a character actor in some westerns or something. Probably.
Well, Danny says he goes all the way back to Gunsmoke Radio. That's a long time back.
Oh, that is. That was a fun. You're right, though. It was funny because I do remember. That's how it was.
Well, you had a lot of unbelievable cops. You had him. You had Barnaby Jones. Which was Jed Clampett as a cop. There are a lot of them that didn't make a lot of sense.
T.J. Hooker comes to mind.
Yeah. Starsky and Hutch.
He had gray hair. He had gray hair, though.
That's true. That's true.
Have a good day.
All right, Scott, do the same. See you later. Well, we've got about 8:43. Yeah, a couple things shaking in the world. We have followers of QAnon in Canada. Someone managed to convince them that the Queen of Canada claims she's the true Queen of Canada and said you do not have to pay your utilities anymore because you're sovereigns. You don't have to pay your bills. So the Queen of Canada, unfortunately, had her utilities cut off. Now, she's repeatedly told her QAnon Queen followers she stopped paying hydro and water, okay, natural gas, property taxes, line of credit, and her credit cards, and pushes hard on her fellow true believers to join her in not paying their bills and chastising those who continue to pay. Queen Romana, is that what she goes by? She's in her 50s or 60s, had little or no public profile until about 2 years ago. She's a short, soft-spoken Filipino immigrant. Has rocketed to popularity in the last 2 years, thanks to other QAnon personalities giving her far-fetched claims of essentially running Canada from the shadows of a giant boost. Since being confirmed by other QAnon influencers, her reach has grown to 70,000 followers on Telegram, many of whom follow her in real life. So you don't fall for the old you-don't-have-to-pay-your-bills thing. Well, what's fair is fair. If you agree that you're company you work for doesn't have to pay you anymore, and the bank doesn't have to give you back the money you put in there, then I'd say it's fair that you stop paying your bills because you won't have any choice anyway because you won't have any money. But there's no reason for you to continue to collect money for your from your job and take money out of the bank if you're not going to pay other people. Of course, that's not thought of all that often. People tend to forget about the obvious things like that. How else are you going to get by? And this group, Scientific American, scientists used to be pretty cut and dry. They were sensible people. Occasional scientists would be a little like the mad scientist type, but they weren't so much into social policy. Scientific American has now declared that air conditioning is a human right. Who they are to make that declaration, I have no idea. But they have declared that air conditioning is a human right, not just for Americans, but around the world. And in the world, Americans use the bulk of the air conditioning that's used anywhere. There are 2 billion air conditioning units in use around the world. And the International Energy Agency figures there'll be 4 billion more by 2050. The problem is they all run on electricity, obviously. Scientific American, according to Rose Mutiso, and the co-authors in Scientific American say that AC is a human right. They're experts in renewable energy and public policy. They understand that AC is also energy intensive. And as demand for it rises, so is demand for electricity. And a lot of that's going to come from fossil fuels, obviously. So they say it makes climate change worse, but they still believe it is a human right. They said ditching AC is not an option and should not be the goal. Instead of a threat, it should be seen as an opportunity to explore greener cooling technology and encourage adoption of renewable energy. Most of the world's AC units are in the U.S. and wealthy parts of Asia. But they say the place you really need it are like Saharan Africa and South Asia, where demand's going to rise the most. I guess they're saying you cannot argue against AC being expanded to these poorer countries because, in their opinion, it's a human right. And people keep coming up with these rights that cost other people money. Here's the point. You have a Bill of Rights in the U.S. Constitution. Not one of them costs anybody any money. You have the people in this country saying you have a right to housing. Well, you do. If someone tells you you have no right to live in a house, I will argue with you that, yes, you do. You have the right to live in a house. The people who say housing is a right are suggesting other people have to build your house for you or pay for your house for you. No, you don't have the right to make other people pay for your stuff. That's one you never did. You don't today, and hopefully you never will in a sensible country. Yes, housing is a right. Don't let anyone tell you you're not allowed to live in one. But AC as a human right, no. No, nothing. You don't have the right to anything that costs other people money to do it for you. And I think if people get that through their head, the world will be a much happier place. All right, let's do a traffic check here. And Chuck's in charge of that. And what are you seeing, brother?
I am seeing things continuing to improve, especially on northbound 75 through the cut, approaching the Brent Spence. From the UC Health Traffic Center, join the best and brightest teams at UC Health. Find your career at uchealth.com/careers. Southbound 75 remains the heaviest. That's an extra 5 minutes in and out of the Lachlan split. Southbound 71 was running a bit heavy past Red Bank, but not anymore. Northbound 75, that delayed time's down to an extra minute or two between Kyle's and the Brent Spence. Chuck Ingram, News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, forecast is around here somewhere. It's memorized by now. Sun coming out this afternoon. We'll get up to 84. Then overnight tonight, we're down to 60. And then we have a couple of days of solid sunshine Thursday and Friday with 84 for highs both days. Then over the weekend, we pick up a chance of rain late Saturday and in part on Sunday. But next week is pretty nice with a fair amount of sunshine, 70s pretty much all week long. Looking good, the stuff you've been dreaming about since mid-January. And the temp, has it gone up? Yeah, 70. 70 degrees, 700 WLW.
Mr. Tony Sherbert seems like a typical mid-30s American man. He has a good job, a nice home, and volunteers his time to coaching Little League Baseball.
Attaboy, good hit.
Mr. Tony Sherbert is also married to a dogwood tree.
Oh, I love you.
Dendrophilia is a growing trend in America.
I love your bark.
Find out why.
I love your cute little limbs.
The Attracted to Trees podcast.
Give Daddy a kiss.
We leave no leaf unturned.
There are a lot of shows to listen to these days. Make sure it's a show worth your time. I suggest The Scott Sloan Show.
I bust my butt to give you the best show I can every day.
Check out Sloaney this morning at 9 on 700 WLW. And be sure to catch his podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This report is sponsored by Dairy Queen.
DQ presents, picture this. You stand before the new
ULW, Mike McConaughey. I've actually wondered myself if we did end up in a nuclear war with Russia and we're launching ICBMs back and forth, kind of wondered exactly where theirs would go. And would they hit their intended targets? Because right now, accuracy does not seem to be their thing. With the missiles being launched in Ukraine, they can go pretty much anywhere. They're not big on accuracy. And now they've noticed that with the downed Russian fighters, that they have basic GPS taped to the dashboard because their own navigation systems are of such poor quality. Says here, wrecked fighter jets are being found with rudimentary GPS receivers taped to the dashboard in Ukraine because the inbuilt navigation system is so bad, according to the UK Defense Secretary Ben Wallace. Speaking of the National Army Museum in London, Wallace commemorated those who died in World War II and on from there, calling the invasion of Ukraine senseless and self-defeating. And said the evidence suggests Russian military hardware is being pushed to the breaking point by the invasion. GPS receivers have been found taped to the dashboard because of the poor quality of their own systems. And they're saying that their missiles are simply not going where they're intended to go. In some cases, you know, bombing civilians is something Russians do. In other cases, it's because the missiles don't go where they're supposed to go. Which means if you're in Brazil, you should fear a nuclear war between Russia and the U.S. because no one knows where those things are going to go. More dangerous, is there such a thing as a more dangerous nuclear war than the old one? Yeah, that would be one right there. And lastly, our friends in Congress are going to hold hearings on UFOs for the first time in half a century. House subcommittee, I think this is starting next week, is it? Congress hasn't held a public hearing on UFOs in over 50 years, says Andre Carson, Democrat from Indiana. So that'll change next week when I lead a hearing at House Intel on the topic and national security risk it poses. Americans need to know more about these unexplained occurrences. I mean, I don't know what you're going to find out. You might find out that, yes, we do see these things, and yes, we have reason to believe they're real. But beyond that, where is an investigation going to take you? I mean, if they're real and they're piloted by intelligent beings from some other world, they're way more advanced than we are. I mean, I don't know what to compare it to. It would be such an advanced situation. My belief is they pretty much live here this is one of their bases or something on the way to somewhere else. And they're living at the bottom of the ocean. I mean, they see these things drop into the ocean. And we've had subs below the ocean see these things go by as underwater as fast as they can in the air. We got nothing that touches that. I mean, I'd be curious to see what would happen if one of our fighters actually fired on one. They'd probably sit there and laugh. I don't know. They probably got some shield where it can't touch you. But the whole idea that there's something the Congress could do about it, or our military could do about it, or the president could do about it, I mean, if these things are real and that advanced, that they travel from places that we believe are unreachable, because they're light years away from here, longer than any being can live. If they've got that figured out, there's nothing in the world you're going to do to stop them. If they mean you harm, they probably would have done it a long time ago.